Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode of 12-Pack Radio is made possible by Nextiva, the official communications partner of the Pac-12 and the best business phone services chosen by U.S. News and World Report. Nextiva helps companies all over Pac-12 countries stay connected with customers and coworkers using one easy-to-use app. Get Nextiva for your business and get business phone service, video conferencing, team chat, call reporting, and more, all for the fraction of what you would pay for those services separately. Make great calls every day. Visit Nextiva.com/12-pack to get started. Nextiva.com/12-pack to get started.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world-famous two-time champs and feel the power! It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news and the home of the BetaRank College Football Statistical Model. This is a Sharp College Football podcast. Thank you for joining us. We are done. We're done. Like, this week, we will be done with our spring football questions as we move into the real dregs of the offseason. But don't worry, we've been talking through categories, things that we want to work through. We're going to do some scheme stuff where we're talking about what the new offensive coordinators are trying to do. We have a number of coordinators that have come into the conference. We have position rankings. There's a lot to cover, which is great for us. The season win totals are already out. Early lines are out. There's just a ton of stuff to cover as we move into really like the last ride before, like, we're like, holy cow, there's only a month before college football season. I am joined as always by Rob Barron, who joins me from Sharp College Football. Rob, what's going on?
Oh, I'm excited to be here. I'm like another week behind on the previews, but I need to start 30 through 21 and hopefully I will start that tomorrow.
That's great. You know, we keep on rocking, and you know, it's all right, Rob. You know, like it's, what is it? It's like June, the beginning of June. We're headed like to that point. So
life happens, yeah. You know, like, yeah.
Oh, for real. We have two teams. It's the last two teams that we saved. And like, honestly, some of it's out of spite because sometimes it's just like, who, like, nobody covers Stanford football.
I don't even know who covers these teams for the San Francisco Chronicle anymore. Like, I think that the people that used to cover them that I followed, like, did not, when they stopped covering them, actually announce who the new beat writer was. So that's, yeah. San Francisco Chronicle might not even cover them anymore. I rely on the student newspaper.
It's a little rough out there. I know, right, for Cal, the guys that cover that, you know, cover the Cal team. Yeah. But Stanford is just, holy Moses. It is like, look, I'm not paying like $10.99 a month, even when, you know, like every... I feel like the 247, I think I've done this spiel before, but basically like the 247 model is like they're the Joseph A. Bank or the Red Lobster of the, you know, premium websites where like it's always a sale, right? It's always, it's like never, yeah, not Lobster Fest, or like, you know, you could never not get seven suits for the price of one at Joseph A. Bank. And like, so every week you have 247, like they make all their writers put out gifts of like, don't miss this one time. Like it's the best time to come half off. But all that to say, like, I'm not paying that money to read Stanford football stuff because it's just tough. It's tough. Like their spring, you know, almost every time their spring practice or showcase game or whatever they call it, the spring game, is like four walk-on quarterbacks and like, you know, your mother-in-law is the, you know, is like the left tackle. Like it's just, like nobody's there. It's just so weird. So we did save these teams. But with that said, these both Cal and Stanford are fascinating teams this year because they both have some interesting strengths. We'll talk about Stanford first. For me, my biggest question with them is like, I just got burned so incredibly bad on Stanford last year, and I ended up like significantly gambling, like I did, like we, you know,
we argued about Stanford and I was told I was crazy.
I don't think
you literally said that,
but, like, but I might have thought
exaggerating to make this sound more dramatic, like,
Well, like, you look at the offense and you look at the team they have there and you go, they're going to move the football. And then you look at the defense, you go, oh my God. And like, it's worse this year. But as I was going through their depth chart, I kind of got caught, you know, like, you never want to fight the last war. So for me, it was like, you know, I immediately knee-jerk reaction, like, this team's going to suck. And their defense is going to suck. Like, we'll just say that right now. But their offense, while, like, I had high hopes for them last year, and it's basically the same players minus the two running backs that transferred. And I'm like, you know, am I so jaded by last year? Because their season win total was like 3.5. And I'm like, let's go. It's one of the biggest bets that I made all year. And thank God for like betting week to week because it saved, like, you know, I quickly made the losses up that I made or that I had, you know, invested when it came to the season win total for Stanford, because I really thought that they were going to win at least, like, I'm like, they're going to move the ball. They're going to win at least 4 games. They beat Oregon. I'm like, all right, I'm riding high. And then,
oh no, like when they beat Oregon, I was like, oh no, they could do this. Like, I was like, shoot, that's like, it's like they're playing with house money after that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a reason they make those casinos, because I'm like, what on earth? Like, this is so stupid. They beat Oregon and still didn't win 4 games. So we look at this roster here, Rob.
But I will give you credit. When we went into last season, I thought I did not think the offense was going to be as bad as it was. Like, that was one of the shockers, I think, from last year, was how much they struggled offensively.
Yeah. And to be fair, part of the problem was they started not Tanner McKee at the beginning of the year. That was a problem. And then McKee got hurt a couple games. And I do think that injured, like, you know, their ability to actually win 4 games. So it seemed like McKee wasn't right the entire time. But, I mean, to your point, like, the offense was still bad. They couldn't run the ball. We knew that. That's what frustrates me. I had already baked in 3 yards a carry with his offense. Like, I got it. Yeah, I'm all right. I got you. But then you look at, like, McKee, Michael Wilson, Bryson Tremaine, Elijah Higgins, John Hubbard. Like, they have wide receivers. They should be able to throw this football. And yes, the offensive line cannot run block to save their life, but they should be able to keep Tanner McKee upright. Right. And then, you know, like, and I think their run blocking was fine, but at the end of the day, this offense was worse. And like, and I'm looking at the roster, Rob, and it's basically the same players are coming back minus the running backs, but I don't think it matters because their run blocking is so crappy. And as I'm looking at this, I'm trying not, you know, like when they say, what is it, insanity? It's, you know, expecting the same, you know, the same thing over and over again that doesn't work, or whatever. Yeah. Like that's kind of what I'm looking at when I'm looking at this, because their tight end is going to be fine. The wide receivers are all like blue chip players that should be able to be good. Tanner McKee, I think, is one of the better quarterbacks in the Pac-12. And basically they return their offensive line. But like when I looked at my grade for Stanford, I think I had him at like a B- or a C+ max, because I saw this last year. I literally saw this movie last year, and I don't know what to do with it.
No, and look, like, that's totally fair. Cause like, as we go back and look, like, I think I have slightly rose colored glasses and a little bit of like, I feel like in a lot of times I end up like accidentally defending Stanford's offense because you still have so many people that are like, why are they still doing intellectual brutality? They're trying to run the football, and you end up like correcting them. Like, they haven't done that in years. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, Stanford runs huge run pass splits, but not the way that you would think based on those people saying it. Like, it's the other way. Like, since 2018, like, they have been a pass first offense, but they also, like, the last couple of years we have like real, you know, honest to goodness football data on them. Like, their best offense was in 2018, and it was 39 in beta rank. They were 10 in effective pass, but they were 106 in effective rush. 2019, again, like, that's a regular, we have a full year's worth of, you know, really good data. They were at 65. And again, like, 25 in effective pass, but 115 in effective rush. Fast forward to last season, they're at 92 in beta rank, 58 in effective pass, 107 in effective rush. Here's the thing. Like, if they, I think the passing game can bounce back, right? Like, I think that, like, that 58 number is what killed them last year. I think McKee being injured was a big, you know, not playing him to start the season and then him being injured was a big part of that. And I do think that you look, you go through and you can talk yourself into the wide receivers, you know, working and the, you know, the play calling, at least throwing the ball being better. Here's what you can't do, though. Like, I don't think that that run number, like, some of the excitement that some people, like, so a lot of people are high on, like, Emmitt Smith's kid, which great, like, but that kid should transfer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If that, if he wants to go to the NFL, he should transfer. I mean, now a Stanford degree is absolutely a valuable thing to have on its own. So maybe wait till your graduate transfer. But for the love of, like, that, like, the consistent thing since that 2017 season is they can't run the football and they've run effective rush grades above 90. And I don't think that's going to change.
No. I think, like, when you look at this offense, you have to bake in, and we did last year. Like, that's why I'm so worried about this, because I look at the passing game and I go, they'll be able to move the football. But I said that last year, they were not able to move the football. I mean, like, they were able to move the football a little bit, but if you cannot run the ball, like, it just allows the defenses and just the play calling to change and really be able to do different things. And I think that that was part of the problem with Stanford was, yeah, like, McKee could chuck the ball and their wide receivers. I think when you take a look at the wide receiving talent on paper, all these guys are blue chip players. But I mean, when you, like, last year, I'm like,
so are the offensive linemen and they can't run blocks.
Exactly. And you go, like, when you take a look at the production, is there anybody that you're like, oh man, that guy is awesome. We had that with, gosh, who was the guy that, like, randomly
went to the NFL.
Yeah. Blew up for like 1 year. And I'm like, that guy's awesome. Like, he was really good. I did not see that last year. And all these guys are, you know, this is a paper tiger on the offensive side. And I just, like, I can't bring myself to let the offense drag me into being roped into like a 3 or 4 win total with this team anymore, because I need to see it actually happen. Like, I will gladly get burned betting against Stanford this year, because it's been 3 or 4 years where I'm just like, nope. Like, you know, like, I believe you know, this offense just has not been able to turn the corner.
You know, our friend Hiplett, you know, thinks that the offense can turn it around throwing the football. I think that's true. I think that they could be a top 25 and effective pass unit again. But I want to be frank, like, that probably, like, caps the offense at somewhere in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, which is a middle of the road, on the wrong side of the middle of the road a little bit, power five offense. That's not going to get it done. Because we haven't, I mean, the defense is never getting any better as long as Lance Anderson's there, right? Like,
oh, I agree. And on top of that, though, I mean, like, I've seen the air raid at Stanford. So, like, I get it. I understand that this team has shown an ability to adapt every once in a while. But even if their passing game is excellent, like, I just do not trust Shaw and the play calling to press their luck, like, normal coaches would. You know, like, I think, like, a top 25, or like, let's say they get to like a top 20, I don't think they're going to be better than 20 in the passing game, even with McKee and, like,
I agree. Yeah.
And I think even then it gets dragged down by the coaching staff that they have. Like, it's just it's different, and that's a bummer, because on the other side, like, I think this defense is going to be a disaster. Like, it's just, I'm looking up and down the roster, and, you know, particularly in the trenches, when you take a look at the defensive tackle and, like, what they I think they're probably going to do a 3-4 type, like, and you just look and you go, oh my gosh, you know, maybe the linebackers are good, and they have a good corner, and, you know, you had the Oklahoma safety transfer in. Outside of that, there's no depth. It's not like Stanford has shown a willingness or like an enthusiasm towards playing freshmen, because guess what? Yeah. The freshmen, right? Like, you know, it's just,
yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, their last season, I mean, one of the things that really hurt them was their special teams also sucked. Mm. They were at 85 in special teams. The place kicking wasn't great. That's the majority of where your special team score comes from. And you know, their place kicker only made 10 of 15. He's a sophomore, he's back. So, and then you've got, you know, like that offense is going to need any help they can get in hidden yards, right? Like on, you know, on the return game. And I think that this defense is going to be a turnstile, and that's going to hurt them. Like, I think they're good at, like, even if they're able to move the ball, they might be one of those offenses that is able to move the ball, but struggles to put up points, because they could be facing really long field position with a bad defense and potentially bad special teams again.
Yeah. And when you take a look at the defensive line, I mean, like, that's the biggest question for me, is like, you lose some big bodies and you take a look at what that unit produced last year, and they were 119th in the country in terms of tackles for loss last year. And I know that's a raw stat and all that stuff, but like, when you think of, when you think of Stanford and you think of Stanford football in the past, like, that's, it was the party in the backfield. And I get it, that was like 5-10 years ago. Like, but it just shows where they are. Like,
they only created a disruptive play on 16.7% of plays. Like, that is ridiculous. Like, we talked about this with some of the other teams, like, you know, take a school like Utah. You know, like, Utah created a disruptive play on one quarter of plays, like, almost 10% more, right? Like, Stanford was barely doing anything to disrupt the opposing offense.
The only saving grace I'm thinking is, you know, their defensive backs coach and their secondary coach is good, but I haven't seen it in a while. And
I don't think they're getting any pass rush either. Like, I don't think there's a lot of help.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, I want Stanford to be good, but I just think, like, even though you see on paper the ability for them to throw the football, everything else is such a disaster that, and like, I don't think this team has gotten that much better. So, I mean, like, they struggled to win four games. Like, if they get to five, I will be shocked. I think the defense collapses on itself, and you light a candle to make sure that, you know, Tanner McKee stays healthy, because Ari Paytu, nope. Like, I'm not in at all. And there's really not a lot of depth there.
No, it has suddenly gotten very thin for that. I mean, like, where it used to be, you'd be looking, you'd be like, oh yeah, like, that's the guy. That's, I mean, like, and McKee, I think, is, I mean, I was a little, I thought he was going to be the guy to start. I can't even remember.
Is it Jack West? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
too.
That's probably who it is. And there were some people who were in on Jack West.
those people were fools, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, but he played in four games last year. I mean, oof. Yeah, I mean, I think they've just got, look, I mean, they still recruit well, but they've become, I mean, a worse version of you. I mean, like, even like USC had to totally crater, fire Clay Helton midseason. Like, basically the team just quit, and they were as bad as Stanford was last year. You know, Stanford is a giant black hole for talent. And look, they do recruit quite a bit nationally, so it's not as if they're just like sucking up talent within the Pac-12 footprint and doing nothing with it, but they still have a pretty significant West Coast footprint. And like, Stanford having these guys and then doing nothing with them is hurting the rest of the conference. Cause like, if these guys went to another team, they might be better. But I mean, I like Shaw, you know, like, I think he's a really, you know, he's a really bright coach. He's just stubborn. Like, he just seems to like be digging his heels in on this. Like, I think he's a great voice for the game. In a lot of ways, but he seems almost completely unwilling to make changes. You know, like, Anderson clearly can't coach defense at this level. You know, and like I don't think, I mean, I think Anderson is the move, right? Like, but you can easily talk me into changing the offensive coordinator as well. But like, the main thing is like, they need a new offensive line coach too. Like, they need a new DC and a new offensive line coach. And Shaw has just remained remarkably stubborn about it. you know, despite years of evidence that Anderson can't do this.
Well, I want to push back a little bit on the recruiting, because you're right that, you know, the 2020 class was good. The 2022 class was good. But when you take a look at who they're bringing in, it's offensive linemen, and that line has been a disaster, at least from the run blocking perspective. And then it's defensive ends, and like it's not the players that you really like. You need big, like, get a big body that can go and push people around in the center of that defensive line, and get me some, you know, get me some players in the secondary that can really hold their own. And I feel like the recruiting successes that they've had recently in the last 3 years have all been in the areas where you haven't seen the production. And that's worrisome, right? Like EJ Smith, you know, Emmitt Smith's kid was kind of the jewel. Miles Hinton in the 2020 class was a tackle. You had Levi Rogers, who was a guard. The majority of that 2020 class were offensive linemen. Well, good luck with that standard, because it's been a while, like a hot minute since that offensive line has been good. Probably since the first year that Bryce Love broke out, which is probably like 6 years ago, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then you take a look at, you know, what they were able to bring in this year. These are all young players, and I just don't think you're going to see production out of them. Like, you have a couple linebackers and a couple edge rushers and some offensive, you know, linemen and a tight end. And it's just like, I've seen these classes before. Like, it's just,
yeah,
I don't think it's the areas where they're really going to need to build. And that's super worrisome. So I don't know. Like, you know, this is like the Stanford. We should bring somebody on for like a struggle session on here. We're just asking them like really, really like not inappropriate, but like uncomfortable questions about like what on earth is going on with Stanford, and just have them like just really try to work through that, because it's pretty brutal this year. Anything else on Stanford here?
No, I mean, really, like I think if you're a Pac-12 fan, like my hope is here is that it's bad enough that Shaw has to make changes. I don't want this to be where he can limp through another season with this coaching staff. Like, I don't think Shaw's going anywhere, but like he can't keep this staff intact.
If they win six games, it's the worst possible scenario.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because they go to a crappy bowl, and then like it doesn't matter, right? Like, they probably lose said bowl. And nobody pays attention, because it's like, you know, and it's on like played on December 12th or something stupid. And then he can point and say, look at the progress we're making. You know, we only won three games. We doubled our win total. Like, no, like, for the love of God, change the program. So no, I totally agree with you on that. Well, hey, so, you know, going from Stanford to Cal, and I kind of like this Cal team. So let's cover that right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. We're talking Cal. Hopefully, I mean, I'm knocking on wood right now, like, hopefully this will be the first year in 3 years where they haven't gotten racked with COVID issues, right? Like, you know, they lose that game to Arizona, and like the entire team is basically out. They're playing a backup quarterback. That was a problem. Rob, I'm looking at this team, and I fully anticipated, because I have been hesitant on Cal the last couple of years, and rightly so. I think, you know, for the most part, that skepticism has bore fruit. Although I will be very fair with Cal, they've had a lot of COVID issues, particularly on the lines and all that stuff. So I get that, but still, you know, for whatever reasons, Cal has not been good the last couple of years. So I walk into this and I'm going, oh, Cal's going to suck. And then I start looking at the team. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Like, I might, This team might surprise a couple people, Rob. Did you get that feeling when you were taking a look at what they have?
I mean, define surprise. So I would still slot Cal in as the, I mean, I might even have them fifth in the North, right? Like, I would still take Oregon State ahead of them. I would probably take this Washington State squad ahead of them. And it's not that I think the defense, like, look, I was proved mostly wrong. Like, I accept that. I think the defense was reasonably good last season, right? Yeah. Like, they were 20, like, they were middle of the road power five defense. I wasn't expecting that. They graded out at 28 in beta rank. Sermon did not crap the bed, you know, like, congratulations. And they got, and they were in a lot of ways a lot better against the run. I mean, that was one of our big concerns last season coming in, was that they couldn't stop interior run. And they were at 32 in effective rush, 24 in effective pass. But, man, the offense was bad. 88 in beta rank, 121 in drive efficiency. I mean, they just could not finish drives.
Yeah.
And it is 100% worth calling out. Like, Purdue's offense got a lot better when they pulled Plummer. And now, look, Aiden O'Connell is a really good quarterback. Like, he had a 71% completion percentage. Now, Plummer was at 68%. But that offense was significantly better with Aiden O'Connell there than it was with Plummer. And that's, I mean, I think that's the interesting sort of, like, thing to watch here, is, like, I'm not that high on Plummer coming into this. And I'm interested to see, because, like, look, I don't think Garbers was that great last season, but he had some decent, I mean, like, he's a decent QB, you know, like, he's not great or sometimes even good, but he could buy you something with his legs, right? And, you know, like, I just struggle to see them really getting it going, you know, like, with Garbers there, with Plummer there, and with Musgrave calling plays.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So super, super optimistic. Well, you know, what is Cal? You know, I was talking about, I forget the comedian, but it's like, how's your wife? And he always answered, compared to what? Because, you know, everything's relative. But I think Cal's ceiling is third in the North, which I would absolutely take as a Cal fan, right? Because you're either going to get beat by Oregon, Washington, or Washington State. I think Cal should be better than Oregon State this year, because Oregon State's defense, I just think, is going to be a disaster. And if there's one unit from Cal that I've just seen over and over again be able to field a team that is competent, it's the defense on Cal. I am worried about Jack Plummer, like you just mentioned, because...
But would you take... I mean, like, it's sort of like Cal's defense and Oregon State's offense, right? Like... I don't know. I might take the Beavs there.
If it's Jebbia, then I would take Oregon State's offense, but I won't be happy about it. If it's Nolan, I would take this defense, and here's the reason why. So last year, right, this defense surprised, and that was with Brett Johnson injured, right? He got that car accident, and I hope he's fully healthy, because he is really good and was playing out of position. Like, they moved him to a tackle and he was like, what, like 280? And
yeah,
in a perfect world, they have the two tackles and they have some big bodies this year. And he's that defensive end where you look at the numbers, you're like, that's a defensive end. But, like, you know, he's a glorified defensive tackle playing on the edge because he can do that. And that, I think that's exciting. Then you bring in, like, Xavier Carleton, and you have some players here on the linebacking core that I think could be good. And, you know, their return, like, they have their corners locked in. You have Justin Wilcox there. Like, I just think this defense is going to be pretty good. Like, this should be a top 25. It's not going to be a top 20 defense, but it should be a top 25 defense.
I think they can improve. I mean, I think they can sit. That's about right. I agree.
And then if you flip it over, Their wide receivers are blue chip players that have size. They have an interesting tight end in Jermaine Terry. I think their running backs are going to be pretty good. Their offensive line play has been better than anticipated. But like the thing that really worries me, and I think you talked me off of the, it taught me off of like already celebrating and popping the champagne, is like, if Jack Plummer is bad, then that is a major problem, because I do not think that Bill Musgrave has it in him to field an offense that can't, to field an effective offense without a good quarterback. I just do not trust him to do that. Because if you can run all you want, but teams are going to catch up to that. And if you can't creatively move the ball vertically, then it's a problem through the air. And I just, you know, I do not have respect for Musgrave right now. I know he's been under some interesting circumstances because of COVID, but like, look, I saw last year with Garbers, like I think Garbers is a significantly better quarterback than Jack Plummer is. And they were not good last year. So you have all these pieces. And I'm like, okay, I like Cal, but I guess here's the question: What if Plummer gives you a B minus? Like, I think Cal can finish third if he's a B minus.
I mean, like, you could talk yourself into Cal being better offensively, right? Like, you know, I think this Cal team could, you know, I mean, God, last year they were horrendous. They were at 88 on offense. You know, so like there's some players that you could talk yourself into that you like, but I, you know, like that, and this was the first, last year was the first season we really got to see, like, you know, Musgrave in action. I mean, and they really stunk. And that's where, like, I mean, and we talk about with like the quarterback recruiting, I mean, behind Plummer, it's thin too, right? Like, it's not as if, like, if Plummer's not working out, that they've got like a ton of options. And we saw last season in that game that they dropped to Arizona, like, ooh, buddy, like, you know, Ryan Glover was not good. Now, I mean, of course, like a lot of other players were out in that game too. But I mean, like, I think, to your point, like, I think better is probably like, I mean, like a max in the 50s. Like, that's a bad Power Five offense, but they don't have to be as bad. And I mean, and that would get you into kind of like maybe like the 40s overall. And depending on the schedule, and I'd have to look at what their schedule is, you know, depending on who they get out of the South, you know, like, it is tougher because, like, UCLA certainly taken a step forward, and we should expect USC to be obviously better than they were last season, right? And that, I mean, that like Cal's gonna need to pick up. God, who is on their schedule now? Now I'm like really curious.
So their non-conference schedule is interesting, but like, are you looking at conference stuff? Because their schedule is, I think it actually lays out pretty well for them.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, so they got two easy wins to start, right? Like, I mean, how UNLV was sneaky. I mean, like, if you follow me on Twitter, like, UNLV was sneaky improving last year. Like, the model definitely made some picks, like the running rebels at the basketball team with the rebels last season. But they're gonna get beat at Notre Dame, you know?
Yeah.
But you get Arizona and Colorado in conference, and those should be doable, right? Like, even though we expect Arizona to be improved, I would still expect Cal to win that game. Now, they should beat Colorado, but like at that point, then whew, buddy, that gets tough though. 'Cause that's like four wins. They're going to pick up at least one more, whether like with Washington State, Oregon State, and Stanford, right? Like, maybe two. Maybe you win two out of three there.
Yeah.
That gets you to bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
Like, that's decent. I agree. I mean, like, the schedule's like, the schedule's pretty. If we were doing wins, like, I think Cal's ceilings overall as a team is like in that 40 range. But the Pac-12 took such a big step back last year. Like, that's, and they get the bottom of the, they definitely get the bottom of the South. So
Well, like that, and you, if you take a look at the Washington schools, you know, at Washington State, that's a tough ask, but you get a Washington team that on paper, I think people are looking back 3 years on the talent that is on that roster. And, you know, Washington should be able to move the ball, but they run against Wilcox in a pretty good defense. And then if you flip it on the other side, you know, how much do you trust Washington's defense right now with a new defensive coordinator? With
that's fair.
The first uncertainty that you've had in what, like 5 years at the secondary, and a team that allowed teams to run the ball, like, and Cal has played Washington pretty, and they have him at home. Like,
oh, you're right. They've had their number. I mean, like, Cal's absolutely had Washington. No, I mean, in this Cal team, if they're in the 40s, they're absolutely going to be good enough that if they catch Washington or Oregon, or even UCLA on an off night, they could beat them. Like, Washington and Oregon are not going to be good enough to go in and be minus three on turnovers and beat Cal.
Yeah. And I, like, when I was approaching this team this year, I just kind of mentally had thought before I was looking at the roster, they're going to finish fifth in the Pac-12 or like in the North, right? They'll probably beat Stanford. And then I was looking at, you know, it's just, okay, all right, this team could be scrappy and this team could possibly go to a bowl. And I'm like, I don't think there's any world where Cal is the North champion. And I think it's very like, it would be, you'd have to sim this probably 50 times for them to get second. But I do think that they're going to be competitive. I do think that this team is interesting. And if that quarterback play is anything better than average, which it will probably be just average, but if it's anything better than that, then now you're talking, like, I just think this is a team that you might be able to gamble on, because they're going to get some spreads that aren't fair to the talent and the coaching staff on this team, at least on the defensive side. On the offensive side, I think that Musgrave hire is probably one of the worst in the Pac-12, given where Cal could be, because I think there might be a fall off, Rob, in the next couple of years, because Cal has not recruited well. And a lot of the players that give me optimism this year, in the wide receiving core and like at the tight end spot, at the running back, like, these are all recruits that are starting to filter through the system. But there aren't the reinforcements behind them, and that worries me. So, you know,
yeah,
maybe Cal's golden years are making it to the Hawaii Bowl and, you know, maybe the Vegas Bowl, and then that's it. But I really do need to see. But, like, you know, smoke them if you got them, because Cal could be Stanford, and they're not. I think they're significantly better.
No, I mean, like, look, I think if you're a Cal fan, like, your Wilcox upside is that he is like Kyle Whittingham and that he can coach a good defense, you know, and he will get that figured out. And then he will just keep trying to get the offensive coordinator right until he does.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're a Cal fan, that's your best case scenario. Like, that's not a bad scenario, because, like, you can putter around at like 6-7 wins, depending on your schedule, waiting for him to get the offense figured out.
Well, and one more thing to give some credit to this Cal team is they were aggressive in the portal. Like, they went out and got spent. Like, how often is it that you can get a competitive tackle, right? We've been talking about, we're kind of mocking every team because, you know, you listen to these previews and everyone's like, oh, we'll just go into the portal and get a tackle. Like, well, good luck with that. They went out and got Spencer Lavelle, who was competing for that tackle spot at ASU. I don't think he won it, which is probably why he transferred. But, like, ASU's offensive line has been pretty darn good the last couple of years. You get Xavier Carlton, who comes off the edge. You know, at least Jack Plummer is, we'll see, but they realized that they needed a quarterback. They went out and got somebody that started in the Big Ten. They got Jackson Sermon, who, like, I'm not huge on, but Odua Isabor too. Like, they've been fairly creative, and I don't know if you can sustain a program from the portal, but I like the fact that Cal didn't just sit back. Given the restrictions, like, it's not as easy to get into Cal as other schools, and they were pretty aggressive on that front. And I'm just hoping, because the bummer is when you take a look at the recruiting classes, you're like, oh no, you know, they get a couple 4-star running backs, and And then that's about it. It's, you know, and it's up to the staff to develop the talent. But I do like what they were able to bring in last year. That recruiting class was actually pretty good. Let's see if they can do more of that in the future, because they're going to need it, because it is not easy to recruit to Cal. And I just, I'm worried that there's a fall off, because the 2020 class was pretty bad. The 2022 class was bad, but they were able to push things through in 2021. And hopefully those players that they are able to bring in are able to produce pretty quickly, because there could be a drop off. Well, here's a question for you. Why do you think Wilcox is still at Cal?
You mean instead of at Oregon?
Well, I don't think he would.
I don't think either you or I believe he had a real offer at Oregon. So,
yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that. But more like, you would assume, particularly in the first couple of years when he was building the program, like, I thought Cal was fairly competitive. But then you kind of take a look around, right? Like, the Pac-12, the finances aren't great. It's more difficult to recruit to Cal. It doesn't seem like the Cal administration is committed to football, which, whatever, they're different schools, but you are in a Power Five conference, and you kind of have to live in the world that you are in. And it looks like Cal is not willing to do that. And if you're Justin Wilcox, like, he's a talented coach. I'm curious why. I mean, he must have had a couple offers at some point, particularly like in year three or four. And now we're in year, what, like six with him? Is it five or six? And I don't know if he has a lot of options left.
No, that's what sort of, I mean, like, Wilcox is, he is really interesting here, because he has, you would assume, in the same way that, like, what are we talking, like, with maybe with like Mel Tucker, right? Like, you know, there was, it did feel like there was some momentum going, and that he had things going in the right direction. And so you would assume that maybe he had some offers. And he certainly, what I kind of wonder at is, like, what kind of offers and what kind of places, right?
Yeah.
Because it isn't a great, I mean, like, Sonny Dykes is not the head coach at Cal for a reason, right? Like, Sonny Dykes was, like, pretty obviously, like, interviewing at other places all the time because of all the reasons you mentioned, right? I mean, like, Cal got themselves into a massive, I mean, some of it is not their fault. The football stadium sits right on the fault line. And so when they renovated it, like, I think they had to bring it up to earthquake on a, you know, earthquake code. they were desperately, I mean, just in desperate financial straits. And I don't think that there is the kind of investment that you would really need around the football program. And you really have to wonder too, as NIL gets going, I mean, look, like, it's not as if Cal doesn't have some deep pocketed alumni. But do they even care about the football program, right? Yeah,
I think that's
the point. Like, I mean, Vanderbilt and Northwestern and Stanford could dominate college football.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you just need all you need is the hedge fund bros to, like, come in and set up an NIL, and it's literally over. Like, car dealers ain't keeping up.
Yeah.
I don't think that Cal can drum up that kind of interest. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but here's the thing with Wilcox. I think he likes Cal. I think he does enjoy that he can recruit maybe a little better than people might expect for him. And I think that's been true, right? Like, you mentioned there have been some years where it hasn't been quite as good, but, like, he's been sneaky effective as a recruiter, I think. And he hired, like, Charlie Regal from Arizona. I think like Cal's recruited Arizona pretty well with him. But I also think it's fair to, like, I think he's, like you said, like, he's probably had some offers. I think if we flipped over the cards on, like, and saw who the schools that maybe put the offers in, they would either not be great or they'd be really dysfunctional. Like, maybe Auburn, you know, like, came calling, right? And he was like, nope, I'm no part of that, right? Like,
Texas Tech, those types of schools too, you know, where it's like, they're interesting, but they're, you know, It's just,
or you get like, I mean, somebody's offer, like going to offer like to, cause he's not like, Wilcox is not going to get like a Michigan State type job that Mel Tucker got, because like Mel Tucker had also been at Georgia. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, you know, so like Wilcox, like if he's going to get like if somebody was like with SEC money or Big Ten money was willing to like back the truck up on him, like maybe it's Indiana, you know, like it's not, you know, it's not going to be, you know, like one of those really high end type of jobs. Like it may be, you know, or like, you know, I mean, like, but he would jump. I mean, the SEC jobs, like the only one you probably wouldn't jump at would be like Vanderbilt, you know, like, but I think that's gotta be it, is like, he hasn't had the kind of interest that maybe you would like we would think, like with Mel Tucker got, like Mel Tucker was such a hot commodity. I mean, I think Michigan State did a crazy thing in giving him a 10-year deal after this one season.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the, or after two seasons, I guess, but like, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like maybe, right. But it is hard to think of like he may still believe that if he can get Cal going and then turn it into like a really, you know, turn that into a much bigger job.
Well, let's leave with this question, because I think it's interesting. For a while, if somebody asked me, which team would you boot out of the Pac-12, right? Just from like an X's and O's, you know, who's going to bring more to the table? And for years, my answer was either Oregon State or Washington State, because Corvallis, like there's not a lot there.
Right.
And same thing with Washington State, right? You know, you're in Eastern Washington and stuff, but when you inject commitment to athletics, I think it's Cal, right? I mean, like they're in the San Francisco market. I get that. Right. But if you're not, yeah, like, A, nobody cares. Like, how many people, right, really care about Cal football? It doesn't matter. And I get, like, maybe for TV contracts to get the exposure there and all that stuff. But, like, this is a program that is not committed to football or basketball. And you can see that in particularly the hire they made, the last couple hires they've made on a budget. And they've been awful. And then,
yeah,
and then you take a look at Wilcox, and that was a super smart hire. So I do not want to discount that. I think for Cal, that's a home run. The problem is,
right,
they're not willing to back him up and give him the resources to make Cal better.
Right.
And that's a problem. And I don't know if is it worth, because you still have Stanford there, and it's not like, right, they're not going to play Pac-12 games, you know, in San Francisco. There's a ton of alum from, you know, UCLA and USC. It's the West Coast, you know, like we're on the West Coast. I think it's Cal. I just don't think that they're committed. At least Stanford's will. Like, Stanford has not forced Shaw to do anything, but they're paying him like $6 million a year. And
if not more.
Yeah. And they went out and they got Haas, and Haas hasn't done a ton for basketball, but like you could tell that they're looking around. Like, you know, they had Montgomery, right, for a while. So did Cal, but I don't know. Would that be the team that you would boot if you had to?
From the conference?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair, because like, I think Cal's never getting booted because of the academics, and the Pac-12 really cares about academics.
Yeah.
like, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are those kind of leagues, right? It's like when people talk about like Pac-12 expansion and they're throwing around like Boise State, I'm just like, you don't know what you're talking about, because that school is never getting an invite. Like BYU was never getting an invite to the Pac-12. The academics just aren't there. But hypothetically, like if you could, and that didn't matter, like, yeah, I mean, I think Cal would be a really big, I mean, an excellent candidate, because like they didn't go to a bowl this year. Their basketball team didn't make the tournament. Their baseball team didn't miss the NCAA baseball tournament. You know, like they're not bringing a lot to the table. I mean, here's what, something for you. Like, what happens with Wilcox if like when Arizona State gets a new staff in, if like Charlie Riegel gets hired to come back to Arizona, right? Like if people start coming in and poaching the staff, because like, here's the thing, if you're Wilcox, is like, and like a school like Cal is like, you have to be committed in the Pac-12 to football, because the SEC and Big Ten are about to sign enormous new deals. And if you have good staff, they're going to get poached.
Or like, what happens if ASU just hires Justin Wilcox, right? Like, cause I think,
no, I mean, that'd be a good hire for them. I mean, right. Like, and if you're Wilcox, even with the sanctions, knowing you probably have 3 years before anybody expects anything out of you, like Wilcox would probably take that job.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it. If you're Wilcox, right. You know, the expectations are, you're never going to be forced. Like, I don't think Cal's ever going to force Wilcox's hand if he's, you know, puttering around at 6-7 wins a season. And to his defense, right, like his best years were 2018, 2019, and then what happened, COVID. So, you know, maybe he thought he had a good team and, you know, he had just made the offensive coordinator change. And so the timing was a little weird, but I feel like he's going to make a jump at some point. And
yeah,
and we'll see what happens with Cal. Like I, you know, in retrospect, I still think that I would take Cal over Oregon State. Like if we really needed to boot one team off of the island, I think it's Oregon State.
It's probably Wazoo. I mean, like Wazoo is like way out in the middle of bloody nowhere.
Yeah, true, very true. But at least they're willing to like. That program is will like and whatever it takes, right? Like they've made some questionable hires that could have actually worked out. Like they hired Mike Leach after like the stuff at Texas Tech. They took a chance on Rolovich, who like we thought was an.
Oh, they're committed to football though. Like that's the thing about like Wazoo is really committed to trying to make football work and to make the hires to make it work.
And on the basketball side, like I thought they made a really creative hire. The San Francisco coach that has actually started to turn that program around. So like, it just seems that the administration there and they committed to fundraising. It's just none of that stuff is happening at Cal. not one bit. And you know, it is what it is. You kind of have to.
We feel that way about like UCLA too a bit, right? Like, I mean, for a long time, and I don't know if this has changed, but UCLA's athletic department, at least what I had heard, and somebody else may know more about this than I do, was that the athletic department was so much restricted in their fundraising so that they wouldn't compete for dollars with main campus, right? Because like UCLA should have a far bigger athletic budget than they do. Like they should like, you know, they should be in the same range as other schools. And they're just not. I mean, like UCLA in some ways competes in athletics with one hand tied behind their back.
But, you know, to their credit, like, you know, that it took them like 7 tries to hire a basketball coach, but they tried. And
they keep at it. Yeah.
And they're basically like, we'll give you back massages for the rest of your life, Mick Cronin. Just please, for the love of God, come here. And I appreciate that.
But even UCLA with one hand tied behind their back still has far more resources devoted to sports than Cal.
Yeah.
Like Cal's, what is it, last like 2 or 3? It's got to be 2, right? Like, because what was it? Well, who's the guy that went to Missouri, the basketball coach, who Cal was more than happy to say goodbye to, right?
Yeah, he was a disaster too.
Kwanzaa Martin. Like, because Missouri took him just because he was going to get that one player that ended up going high in the draft. That's it. Like, I mean, he was awful. Mark Fox has been indescribably bad. You know, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, like, just on a pure play, I mean, as college football enters a new era of like really large amounts of money potentially being thrown around, Cal among the Pac-12 schools might be the worst positioned to compete.
Yeah. Well, with all that said,
that's really encouraging. Yeah. But anyway, I think they could win 7 wins.
Yeah, 7 games this year. This team is actually kind of good. Like, you know, they are not bad. They are a team that will be scrappy and they will compete. And to their credit, we talk about this a lot when we talk about Arizona, right? That team plays hard. That team, like Cal, played hard all last year, and I liked the fact that they were able to do that given some of the challenges that they had with COVID. And I just appreciate what Wilcox has built. I just hope he stays, because Cal needs somebody like that that's willing to put up with some crap, and is willing to be competitive and doing some things to make the program forward. So, okay, well, hey, next week, let's work through the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12, and
All right.
we'll probably we'll add one more topic, whether it's like scheme or ranking and stuff. But like, I do think that it's been a really interesting year for quarterback changes in the Pac-12, and in a good way. I think there's some.
Oh
some
my God. Leaders. There's like actually good quarterbacks to potentially talk about.
Yeah. I mean, like the Pac-12, I think they'll be better next year, and a big reason for it will be the quarterbacks. We'll talk through that. We'll talk through some other topics. Anything else to plug here, Rob?
Nope. Just hopefully I'll get that Purdue and talk a lot about if you get a chance to tune in, watch Aiden O'Connell next year, because he could have an enormous year for the Boilermakers.
Nice. Yeah. Keep a lookout for that. And we will catch everybody next week. Let us know if you have questions for the next show at 12 Pack Radio. And where are you at, Rob?
At Beta Rank FB.
And we will talk to everybody next week.